I was thinking of the words of that prayer, and I forgot what comes next. Keep up, Hank. All right. We are going to end our brief study of the book of Habakkuk, a prophecy written years and years ago. And we're up to chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading those verses as the sermon progresses. And kind of like a Bible study, and we've done that before, and Pastor Roger has done that as well. So you'll probably want to turn in your Bibles to page 1343, and there you will find the third chapter of Habakkuk. And the songs again this evening, as this morning, certainly prepared us for the study this morning and again this evening. And that's always a wonderful addition to be able to sing songs that kind of affirm and give substance to God's word. Chapter 3, fellow believers. Shortly after the threat of frost is over, and spring fills the air, Chris and I think of planting a garden. We have a raised garden outlined with cinder blocks, 2.5 feet off the ground, 5.5 feet wide, and 18.5 feet long. And wanting to take full advantage of that small piece of ground, I usually overseed it with a variety of vegetables and plants. Usually planted too close together, as you can see. And I rarely thin plants as the directions tell me to do after the seeds have sprouted. I want to give every seed a chance to produce. Anyway, as I tear open the seed packets before planting, I usually read the instructions on the back, especially taking note of that little line that says, days to maturity. How long it will take for those seeds to produce the vegetable that's pictured on the front of the seed packet. And then we wait, not so patiently, walking to the garden nightly to see signs of the tiny seeds piercing the soil so they can grow and mature and produce and at long last be ready to be picked. I don't know if Habakkuk would appreciate that analogy. However, when I read his life in these three chapters that bear his name, I can't help but feel that his life was actually a journey of faith that parallels the growth and maturity of a seed, if you will, as do many of our lives as well. A seed of faith planted, growing, maturing, and then triumphing in full bloom. You and I have heard many sermons on faith. And faith is that engine that keeps us going. Hebrews 11, verse 1 gives us the definition of faith. We've all memorized it. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. A bit of review before we launch into chapter 3 and complete our study this evening. Habakkuk was one of God's prophets. It's a book of prophecy, as I mentioned this morning. We think he was educated in the school of the prophets. It's believed that different times in biblical history, prophets hung around together, often praying, often trying to interpret scripture, often trying to figure out what a specific vision that one of them might have received might mean, and then talking amongst themselves as to how best to share what they had received from God with God's people. Often asking, as we should as well, what is God saying to me? Through his word, through maybe a dream that you've had, and maybe in some circumstance that took you by surprise during the day. a variety of ways that God speaks to us. And as we learned in Habakkuk, God uses different ways of communicating with his people. Thinking of prophecy, we have often associated that word prophecy with a line like, the word of the Lord came to so-and-so. Or maybe a prophecy starts, thus says the Lord. However, as we've learned from Habakkuk, the Lord uses a different way in this short book, a different way of communicating. He goes through Habakkuk rather than speaking to Habakkuk. Habakkuk does the talking to God, and then God, through Habakkuk's woes, reveals himself. It's called an oracle form. A little different way. And that shows, again, how God wants so desperately to communicate with his people. And he'll use any form to do that effectively. And as we learned this morning, from chapter 1, Habakkuk comes to the Lord with some heartfelt questions. Habakkuk has on his mind, he says to God, God, I don't understand. Why are you allowing your people to do wrong and be violent? Where is the justice? Where are things going to turn around? Why aren't you listening to the cries of the righteous? And God replies, I'm doing something. Look and be amazed. I'm coming, and I'm going to do some amazing things using the Babylonians as the means. Habakkuk was concerned about God's people and the way they were living, rightfully so. And God says, I'm going to teach them how to be more godly and how to be more loving towards their fellow man, but I'm going to use the Babylonians to do it. And then Habakkuk, as we've said, goes to God and says, you're going to do what? Wait a minute. Those guys are just as bad, if not worse, than we are. The Babylonians aren't reflections of what I know to be true of you. You're holy. Your ways are holy. Haven't you seen how unholy those evil people, Babylonians, are? Isn't there an inconsistency there, Lord? And then in chapter 2, we find Habakkuk standing guard, waiting to see how God is going to act. He's speaking figuratively, of course, but it implies that he's going to keep his eyes open and pay close attention to how God is going to work and just how Habakkuk's concerns are going to be answered. And God assures Habakkuk, there the Babylonians' time will come. Just be patient. If you have your Bible open, I hope you do. Look at verse 2. I didn't really point that out too clearly this morning. Look at chapter 2, rather. And if you turn the page and look at verse 6 there from chapter 2, there are listed there 5 woes. And they go to the end of chapter 2, basically. And what those 5 woes are saying is that you may be looking at the Babylonians and you're seeing how evil they behave. They plunder other people and they do all kinds of unjust things, and they build large homes and so forth, and they really think they're something, and they make worthless idols. And that chapter ends that way. And of course, then, as a summary in verse 20, as we said this morning, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. Now, why I'm pointing that out is that Habakkuk is on a journey of faith, and he is saying all of this. But does he really believe it? He hasn't seen this turnaround come yet. Those Babylonians are still plundering one another, plundering other nations. They're still extorting goods and monies from other people. And what these woes are saying in actuality is God is saying, that's all going to turn around. Those that plunder are going to be plundered themselves in due time. Those that think they're so secure are going to be unsecured in their own lives. Their civilization, which they think is so great, is going to be replaced by devastation. They who build, verse 12, a city with bloodshed, their glory is going to be turned to shame. Those who take advantage of others and give drink to their neighbors, it's going to turn back towards them. Their idols are going to become worthless. And Habakkuk hasn't seen any of that happen yet. And he has to, in faith, believe that God is indeed, in time, in God's time, going to turn things around. And all that God says, live by faith. The just will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. My time, my ways are not your ways. Just an insertion. If you were here last Sunday morning, we heard Dr. Plantinga's sermon, The Lord's Song in a Foreign Land. Maybe you remember that from Psalm 137. And you'll remember that Psalm 137 was set in the historical context of the Jews living in Babylon after their capture and their deportation to Babylon. And then living in a foreign land and being made fun of as to how they practice their faith, and they're mocked there. And then they wondered how they were supposed to live out their faith in that setting. And that hasn't happened yet. That's around 500 BC. And Habakkuk prophesies just before that time, 600 BC. The Babylonian captivity is just around the corner, but it hasn't taken place yet. And why I think that's important, as I said, Habakkuk is uttering all these woes because the Lord has revealed that to him to speak those woes. But I'm wondering if in his mind he's saying, is this really going to happen? I haven't seen it happen yet. And then the deportation takes place, the Babylonian captivity. And I don't know where Habakkuk fits into all of that, whether he was part of that Babylonian captivity or not. But he had a lot to go through in his mind. He had a lot to try to figure out. And finally, he comes to chapter 3, and he kind of leaves it all in the Lord's hands. And he doesn't really get an actual answer to all his concerns, and all his questions, and what's filling his mind. And that's all right. Because God, we've learned, doesn't feel he has to always explain himself. His ways are not our ways. God reveals himself in different ways. He reveals himself through power, through his presence, through the work of the Holy Spirit. He reveals himself in the history of the world. And as Habakkuk begins to realize that God has been working all along, a transformation takes place in his life. Remember, he's on a journey of faith, as we all are. And when he begins to realize that God, yeah, he's really been working all along, and I need to, what I can't understand, I need to accept by faith, but I also need to keep my eyes open and see the signs. Someone has said of Habakkuk, his questions are replaced by God's awesomeness. Habakkuk 3 is a prayer. And some believe it's also a song. And it's a prayer and a song that was sung as part of temple worship, part of a temple worship service, proclaiming what the people didn't know about God, but what they put into his hands. And as I said, Habakkuk is taking a journey of faith from complaints to God to accusations against God to reflections of God. It's a journey of faith, and I trust we're all on that. Someone has said of Habakkuk's journey of faith that nothing has changed on the outside, but Habakkuk changed on the inside. The Lord changed Habakkuk from being upset, angry, confused, to being at peace and waiting on the Lord. And as I said, how did the Lord do that? How did the Lord change Habakkuk? How does he change any of us? He takes us on a journey of faith. And I trust we're all on that journey of faith. All at different stages on that journey, but traveling that road of faith, we can call it sanctification. We can call it progressive faith, if you will. But three things I want you to notice from chapter 3 on this journey of faith. First, faith's gracious origins. Where does faith come from? Well, faith comes from God's gracious heart of love. You notice nowhere does it say in these first two chapters, when Habakkuk had all these concerns, nowhere does it say God came to him and said, "Come on, Habakkuk, get it all together. Can't you understand? Are you that dumb? Are you that ignorant that you can't see what I'm doing?" No, God graciously, from a heart of love, encourages Habakkuk, transforms Habakkuk, and he finally comes to that point that we read in chapter 3, where he's transformed, where he gives God the glory, where he gives God the praise. God had planted a seed of faith in Habakkuk's life long before we met him. And God had planted a seed of faith in your life and in mine long before we met him. And for faith to grow, Habakkuk, and for faith to grow in us as well, we need to remember. We need to remember what God has done in the past and is currently doing in the present, in our individual lives and in history. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 2. "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. O Lord, renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." That's quite a statement. That's quite a statement from the opening verses in the first two chapters, where he's questioning God, what's happening? Why are you using the means that don't make sense, using the Babylonians to punish your people? And here, we don't know the time length of how long there was in between these chapters. "Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." You know, there are times in our lives when we probably look back at what God has done in the past, but wonder why he isn't doing anything like that right now. And maybe we need a refresher course in remembering. It begins by taking a trip down memory lane, I like to think. We do that sometimes as families, looking at picture albums of the past, recalling past family times and other memories of the past. And God wants Habakkuk to review all the wonders that God had done, especially through the Exodus event. Continue reading from the third chapter, verse 3. "God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran." That's a reference to the geographic areas the people of Israel traveled through on their way to the Promised Land. See, God is here sparking some memory in Habakkuk. That's part of his journey of faith. Verse 4, "His splendor was like the sunrise, rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble." In verse 6, "He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapse. His ways are eternal." Those were awesome activities. They're actually pictures of what Habakkuk is supposed to bring to mind of the power and greatness of God and how that was revealed in a very dramatic way in that journey of the Israelites across the Sinai Desert. But you know, this is prophecy. This is prophecy. Habakkuk is supposed to remember, take a history lesson of the past, but now put it in a modern day context. God is making a comparison here on how he acted in the past in a dramatic way in the lives of the ancient Israelites, but also how he will act in the future when he comes to judge the world and time will be no more. Think of that. He's coming from the holy mountain, his splendor like the sunrise, rays flashing from his hands. Almost looks like the language of Revelation, doesn't it? He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. And it's no wonder that a transformation took place in Habakkuk's life on this journey of faith. Remembering is a wonderful thing. Looking to God's future dealings with the world is a wonderful thing as well for those whose faith is in the Lord. It's going to be scary for those who do not know the Lord. Do some remembering on your journey of faith. Our woke culture wants us to cancel history. If we cancel history, secular history, we lose our anchor of the price of freedom. If we cancel God's history, the great acts of redemption, and all of that that are part of our journey of faith, we'll lose our anchor of our faith. Maybe for you and me, we need to remember the time you first realized God had saved you. One thing we can remember on our journey of faith. Remember when you came face to face with the cross and the dying form of one who suffered there for me. We as Christians have been given the powerful blessing of the Lord to kind of put things together. Not everything, but how God has worked in the past, how he's worked in our lives, and we trust how he will work in the future, not only in our lives, but in the history of what's going on around us. I picked up a small book at a truck stop recently. Real life stories. Real people in real places with real problems looking for a real answer. And it's a tract-like book, and it was written by veterans, young and old, those that have been in the service during wartime and more recently, and it's just a compilation of various heartfelt testimonies. And what many of these testimonies had in common is that many of these folks had been exposed to church and religion in their younger days, but they had abandoned their faith because they didn't think God was there or cared. They didn't see him working in their lives, although he was, and they didn't see him working in history and in society. They basically had forgotten about God. However, God didn't forget them, and he doesn't forget us. Just a few words from one of these fellows that I just happened to turn to. I feel so blessed to be able to see how God pursued me during my life. He truly sought me to have a relationship with the likes of me. It is because of his faithfulness I find myself trying to reach those who don't know him, to seek him out because he's doing the same thing to them. I have had my ups and downs in my faith walk, But when I look back, I am blessed to be able to see his presence during those times. My faith grows when I actively read, pray, spend time with like-minded people. I have a passion for those who don't know him and look forward to opportunities to share his word and my faith with them. It takes time and investment, but that is a small thing compared to for what Jesus did for me from birth to resurrection. Our journey of faith originated in the heart of God when he planted that seed of faith in your heart and in mine, and it grows when we remember the great events of God in history and in our lives. Habakkuk didn't know Jesus. However, he had faith that his God, in his God, and that God became very personal to him. We know Jesus, whom God sent in the fullness of time to save us from our sins and adopt us as his children. That's what we need to remember each and every day. History, it's God's story. Began in the garden and will come to consummation when Jesus returns. All right, let's continue reading. See what God is saying through Habakkuk, verses 8 through 15. It's a great comfort to Habakkuk and to us, even if we don't realize it right away. We'll call these verses God's assuring comfort, verses 8 through 15. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. Now remember, this is a prophetic book. And what's going on here that Habakkuk sees in his faith's eye, if you will, that there's a cosmic battle going on where the Lord is the divine warrior and he overcomes the cosmic powers of evil. The Lord is going to overcome the powers of darkness. All creation is going to be affected. You see what's happening here from Habakkuk's limited sight that we've read about in the first couple of chapters, his concerns of his own little corner of the world. God says, look beyond that. Look what I'm doing. Watch, see, and be amazed. These are words of comfort for Habakkuk, because he's beginning to realize, and I trust we all do already as well, that God is active, has been, is, and will be. When all things come to a conclusion, Habakkuk and us have the assurance that God is faithful, I think, in delivering his people in the past, in the present, and in the future. And you and I have seen it most dramatically, as I've said several times already, most dramatically in Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus, and the anticipated return of Jesus in glory to judge the living and the dead. Can't you just imagine what a transformation Habakkuk is going through in his mind and in his heart? I think sometimes we miss some of that drama. His vision has been expanded. He strode the earth. He threshed nations. He delivered his people. He crushed leaders. The land of wickedness. You pierced his head with his own sword. You trampled the sea with your horse. And as Habakkuk, as he takes it all in, he has He has a response. He has a response. Look at verse 16. A response both physically and verbally. Look at verse 16. We call this faith's triumphal confession. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity. I'll wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. And here's his final confession. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. That's quite a confession. Think about where he started on this faith journey, and now, physically, verbally, quivering lips, a pounding heart, weak bones, trembling legs. Have you ever felt like that? When you read a portion of Scripture or witness God's presence in your lives, in the life of someone else? Habakkuk's faith journey has brought him to the point where he has surrendered to God's awesome power, and he humbly submits to God's plans. He has a renewed and a respectful fear of God, and he combines it with trust and faith, and he's ready to replace his impatience with God with a patient waiting for God. He didn't see a lot of these things happening that we read about in verses 8 through 15, but he had faith that God had done that for his early ancestors, and he knows that God is going to continue to show his power and his transforming love in the future. I like how one commentator has taken this verse, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. One commentator looked at that confession, and he put it into kind of an economic context. And he says that that first phrase, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, he says that that really means for you and I, and I don't know if we can do that, but I think we probably can. You can put it in your own context if you like. He says that those are things that you're trusting in for the future. They represent future hopes. You plant a seed, you expect it to grow. You look forward to it producing fruit that you can count on. But in this confession of Habakkuk, he's basically saying that even what I might count on as far as future security is concerned, I'll have faith in you, Lord, even if there's nothing to look forward to. In the second phrase, this commentator says, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, he says that that refers to the things you're presently putting your trust in, your present means, what you can see, what you can touch. And Habakkuk is here confessing that if he loses everything, even what he has presently, as far as earthly means, he'll still have faith in his God. Can we say that? If you lost everything you presently have, like Job was tested, will you still have faith? It's easy for us to say because we don't think we'll ever be in that kind of a situation. And the third phrase, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet he's going to have faith. And this commentator says that refers to things that you're trusting in from the past, your reserves, maybe a savings account that you're counting on for the future, and it vanishes. because the bank defaults, equity in your house or whatever. And Habakkuk is saying, no matter what, when I can't see anything concrete now, and there seems to be no hope for the future, apart from you, Lord, I'm still going to have faith. Even if there's nothing I can count on, except my faith in you, I will still rejoice. I will be joyful in God my Savior. How can he say that? How can we say that? Because I trust our faith is maturing every day. Habakkuk has taken his eyes off himself and turned them to the Lord. Habakkuk has come to that point in his life where he's convinced that the Lord's ways are not our ways, and the just shall live by faith. And Habakkuk has been given a faith that passes all understanding. Habakkuk has journeyed from doubt to scaling the heights like a deer running amongst the mountains, sure-footed. There's one thing that you and I can count on, and I've said it before, and where God does explain his ways, and that's on the cross. And that's on the cross of Jesus. And so as Matthew 6 says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And we know, as Romans 8 says, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Paul, who had taken that journey of faith as well, in a very dramatic way, as Habakkuk had, in a dramatic way as well, in a prophetic way, Paul writes, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, it's wonderful to see how you worked in the life of Habakkuk to take him from confusion and concerns, to take him from a lack of understanding your ways, to giving him just enough to turn his life around, to turn his life towards you and away from the current circumstances that he couldn't explain. And then to hear that wonderful confession that no matter what, he will rejoice in the Lord. He will be joyful in God his Savior. And Lord, we take that confession upon ourselves as well. There are many things that we don't understand. And yet, Lord, you're working in our lives as we journey through this life, a journey of faith. And as we look at the world around us, we can't understand how you're working, but we know and believe you are. And as you've shared with Habakkuk, things will change. Evil will be turned around. And we saw it happening on the cross. And we see it every day in the testimonies of our hearts and the testimonies of others that have come to you in faith and in gratitude. And so, Lord, fill us as we journey this journey of faith through life. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with memories of how you worked in the past. And open our eyes to see what you'll be doing in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.